Okay, so we're up to the last part. Okay, this is hard. But it seems like he, 138.
The last
page. First order line is the page is Achen. So we're doing, he seems now to be calling into question with everything he just sat down, set up. Right. And it's hard to understand what he's saying here. So he says again, Achen ve'afilu, 10 lines from the bottom in the right column. Page 138. Ve'afilu im neima. Ve'af begam le'inyan adin me'in odomen. Begam ken din osali. And even if you want to say that also regarding the din, the status of in odomen, his din is also split. It's also split. Ve'legabe mishein ve'yachol hatzilo ve'nafsho. Regarding a person who cannot save him but through killing him, saving the but through killing the Rodev, Chalabodor Sein Adam. Vis-a-vis him, he has a status of an Adam. But regarding vis-a-vis someone who could save him with a limb, how are you calling him? He's like any other person. Upakuminekam Chalos Den Shalain Adam. And also, it's removed from him the status of an Adam. He has Adam. He's a regular guy. Even if you want to say that, right? So maybe you'll argue that the Adam itself does vary from person to person. Right? As previous yesterday, he sat down. No, the Adam is an objective chalos in the Gavra. It's an identity of the Gavra. So that's subjective. For sure, it goes from person to person. But the Hashem in the Gavra is objective. It's his status in him. So that's objective for everybody. He says, no man, even now if you want to argue that it really would be subjective, his status of animal domain varies from person to person. And it's only for a person who has to kill him, but someone who can take out a limb. He doesn't have that status. Even if you wanted to argue that, and if you would argue that, then it would seem the guy who he's not an animal domain, basically you're murdering him, and you should be Chayav Mason, he should be killed by Bezdin. That's the problem. So why not? The whole move was to say you're exempt from killing because he's an Eldam vis-a-vis everybody. But now he's saying, even if you want to say, no, he's not an Eldam vis-a-vis everybody. Depends. So the guy who's an Eish Eldam, still, Mikal Makom, even in his buyer, Dadin the Eldam, who chalos din ba'at moshal rode, since we are saying that the status of the din of an Eldam is a chalos in the gavra of the rode himself, okay, in Cain, which is funny, because if it's relative, how's it not all in the Gavra himself? The Gavra himself, I thought, was, you said that yesterday because it was an objective Chal Shem. And now that you're saying is that it varies from person to person, it doesn't seem to be it's in the Gavra of the Rodev himself. You know, was the Gavra of the Rodev had a status that vis-a-vis these people, so-and-so, he's the end of, you know, it seems like not, but you say no. In the Gavra himself, and since it's a chalos in the Gavra himself, relative to certain people and not relative to others, in Cain, Yesh Lomar, so then he could say, in order to be Chayav Misa on killing him, okay, he means Chayav Misa in Bezdin, on killing him, Kol Tzad Ein Lo Damim Sheyesh Bo, any side of the Ein Lo Damim which he has, Dai Lepocha, is enough to exempt the killer. Okay?
What was that?
Any amount, any side of an Ein Lo Damim which he has, even though it's vis-a-vis somebody else, any type of Ein Lo Damim that he has is enough to exempt the guy who would kill him. And since he has a status of Ein Lo Damim regarding someone out there who really can't take out a limb, so he's not going to be Chayav Misa for killing him. That's why Bezdin says that if someone kills him, Bezdin won't kill him. So, I mean, that itself is also difficult. I mean, the first thing that's difficult is what's this idea of like a subjective
yeah, no.
Then, if you say it, then why is he saying that it's a definitely still a status in the Gavra? It seems to be it isn't. The whole idea of a subjective means it's not a status in the Gavra. And thirdly, even if you do accept that, so why is that an exemption? I mean, because he has some tzad, yeah, but vis-a-vis me, it's not.
Right.
So who cares if it's someone else he is? So what?
back and forth.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like, why is he doing this? Why is he doing this? I mean, he already had a good answer. It all worked out well yesterday. Now he's just saying this.
Well,
yeah, and even if you want to say this, I mean, well, who needs this? What does he need this last point? Okay, so maybe the good is saying like this is that. That why does a guy have a status being on the dung? Where does this whole thing come from? Okay, so the thing comes from the fact that there's a clash. There's a clash between the Rodif and the Nirda. Okay, the Rodif is trying to kill the Nirda. He's going to pick up Nefesh for the Nirda. In order to save the Nirda, we would have to be able to kill the Rodif. So there's a clash. And the way the Torah resolved the clash is that it basically said is that the Rodif is an Ein Adam. This is the way that the Grizz is learning it. The Grizz, that's kind of what the Grizz is doing. You see, he doesn't like just saying, as the Torah said, you know what, go with the Nirda. It doesn't mean go with the Nirda. Rather, it's saying is that the Torah will know, the clash is because the Torah protects all people. And since there are clashes, you have Nefesh and Nefesh, and Nefesh and Nefesh. What the Torah did, it basically gave him the din of Ne'el Adamim, which saying is that the Torah doesn't protect him anymore. And then, yeah, I guess he's not learning. I mean, he's giving a mechanism for the Machriya. The Machriya is that it gave him status in Ne'el Adamim. And since Ne'el Adamim, that's the Machriya. Machriya is the one guy's the Yeshlam where he's Ne'el Adamim. So now it's not in the Nefesh and the Nefesh anymore. And the Nefesh is assuming that they're both real Nefesh. But if one guy is Ne'el Adamim, so now it's an easy way. It's an automatic Machriya. I mean, it could be this Machriya, but that's the sense. That's how the mechanism by which it's doing it. So funny, then he'll die. Fine. So again, the whole idea of giving him a din of an Ein Adamim is in service of this clash. Okay? So now the question is, the Grizz is dealing with is, yeah, but this clash is only vis-a-vis certain people. Right? Whereas vis-a-vis someone who has the ability to take out a limb, there is no clash. Right? There's only a clash vis-a-vis people, the only way that they could do Pikach Mafash. The only way they could save the Nirdaf is through killing him. But vis-a-vis other people, there's no clash. Okay? So the question is,
the clash exists for the onlooker.
The clash exists for certain onlookers. Yeah, the clash only exists for the onlooker, for someone who's in the situation. And not only that, it's for certain. See, if all onlookers, then fine. But here, the whole clash only comes about because of certain onlookers. Certain onlookers who have no ability to take out a land, their angle is such that they only could get a good shot to the head. That's the only ability. The other guys, onlookers from the back, who could hit him, let's say, in the leg. So depending on the onlooker, there's a clash. So the whole status of Ein Adamim is because there's a clash, and the clash is only relative to certain onlookers, not relative to the other onlookers. So the question is, what does Dora do? So the one solution is that it's true, it's only relative to certain onlookers. But since there's a status of an Ein Adamim, and then there's a status in the Gavra, and the situation of Rodef, by its nature, involves onlookers who will have this clash. So the Torah said, it gives a den of a Rodef, an Ein Adamim. It's true, it doesn't only exist because of some of the people. But since the idea, the action of being a Rodef, it involves is one which does bring on onlookers who have no choice, who have this clash. The Torah gave a status in the Gavra of an Ein Adamim. The Ein Adamim is a din in the Gavra. So yes, the Ein Adamim is a din in the Gavra. It's true the reason why he has that status is because of the onlookers, but there's always an onlooker out there, someone or somewhere out there. The Rodef by his nature and is going to bring in onlookers who have this clash. So the Torah gave a status in Ein Adamim to a Rodef. Now it's true, certain particular onlookers will be for them, and for them they'll have rishus to act on this Ein Adamim, and other ones who is not caused by because of them, so they'll have an Ein Adamim, but they don't have rishus to act on it. If they do, they'll be exempt because the bottom line is the Yasachalos and the Gavra of an Ein Adamim, but they won't have rishus. Okay, but the saying basically is that even though this status Ein Adamim was really only caused by certain guys. But since it's a status in the Gavra, it has to take on the Gavra, and it's a chalos in the Gavra, it has that status. And you have to choose, either you have the status or not have the status. But if you wouldn't have the status, then you wouldn't be able to do Pikach Nefesh. So you have to give him the status. You give him the status, objectively. So he has that status. And he has the status. So that's it. But that was what he said yesterday. Okay? But there is something a little bit bothersome about it, is because the status was based upon a reason of a clash. And the clash only exists vis-a-vis certain people. And in a certain sense, it's like overkill. It's like you're giving a status, an objective status, an eladamim, which is vis-a-vis everybody. He's like a worthless guy. And really, the whole reason why the status came about is only a relative reason. So it's...
Why are you taking it that far?
Yeah, right. So you could just say, halakhically, there's no other way to do it. Okay, and that's what I was saying. It's definitely like supposed to be philosophically bothersome, because it sounds like it's overkill. But you could say, halakhically, it's a chalos in the gavra, and there's no other way to do it. You can't slice it. I mean, it is a chalos in the gavra. You have no choice. Either he has a chalos or he doesn't have the chalos. So that's what he said yesterday. But even now he's saying today, even if you want to argue, okay, this is where he's coming from. You can see why you would want to argue. But even if you'd want to argue that what the Torah did is it created a relative Enel Damim. Okay, which means is that every person, as Enel Damim means, is like Torah protects a person. Okay, Torah protects a person, and I have to respect the person's life. That's the idea. Torah, every person is Damim, and for people, you have to respond to it. It doesn't mean he has Damim, it means that people have to respect the guy's life. He's a human being, you have to respect him. So now, maybe what the Torah did is in general, you have to respect the person's life. But now, when you encounter a situation of the road day, if you're faced with a clash, a resolvable clash, what are you going to do? You have two people you have to resolve there, you have to respect their life. So what the Torah did is the clash itself generates a status for Enel Damim. Now, since the clash is a relative personal phenomenon, is relative to certain people. So insofar as the Torah does not protect his life insofar as there is the clash. So in other words, for a person who's insofar as you encounter this guy, the question is, would you relate to this guy as a protected status, as protected or as not? So the thing is that if you encounter this clash, so then vis-a-vis you, the Torah gave him a status of an Enel Damim. But vis-a-vis someone who doesn't have that clash, he basically has his regular status. When the Torah is coming, it's like a detail of this clash that the Torah gave him a status of an Enel Damim. Was the clash is generating the thing for sure, and the clash only vis-a-vis some people. But the question is, could the Torah create like a relative Enel Damim, or you say is that the Torah that you can't have that? As a shame of Enel Damim has to be like an objective shame, But that's his question. That's what he's toying with. It's like, is that possible? Obviously. To set up a status of an Ein Lo Damim. Again, Ein Lo means the Torah doesn't protect him. So the saying is the Torah doesn't protect him vis-a-vis certain people, vis-a-vis other people who he's an normal guy and there's nothing wrong with him and there's no reason why he could just take out his land, so the Torah will protect him. So the status is a status which is indicative of the Torah's protection of him. So you can have a status, a relative status. And I'll show you as an example. Like, what does that mean, like a relative status? So maybe just an example. I think this is a good example. Let's say a king. Okay? King. So a king is a relative status. Okay? Arguably. Okay? Like, a king isn't intrinsically a king. God is intrinsically a king or whatever. But, a king is only a king based on his subjects. And if, for instance, there were no subjects, he wouldn't be a king. He's just a regular guy. He's just a person. But a king is a king because of his subjects. Now, if you have someone from a different culture or something, then vis-a-vis what is he a king? Now, you could say, like, in our world, we recognize other kings because we're all, you know, in his culture. But let's say you have the king of fourth grade or something like that. I don't know. Something like that. Like, that's totally, you go to anywhere else, he's not a king. But in that framework, he's the king. He's the king of high school, king of whatever, some junior high. He's the king. And it means that everyone has a status. Maybe he would be anointed, elected, whatever it is. But notice, the king is a status that he has. It's not just, it's a status that he has, but it's a relative status. It's relative to the subject. Okay, but relative to other people, he's not king. To other people, he's just a regular, plain old guy. Right? If you imagine some culture which ignores that culture and basically treats it like, it's totally meaningless, then it doesn't have any value. It's just another guy. So you can have a status which is, there's such a thing as a status, but you wouldn't therefore say that he's not the king, he's not, the gavra isn't the king. The status resides in him. Like, for instance, if I treat you as a king, if me and you have a relationship, I treat you as a king, then you're not a gavra of a king. That's just, it's not a status in you, it's just the way I relate to you. But if you have 1,000 people or whatever who relate the guy as the thing, you don't just say that's a personal thing. You say he has a status of a king relative to a certain class of people. I mean, like, there is a status which is relative. But not any relationship is a status. It's like, you don't just say, friends, if you have 1,000 people who relate to him as king, you don't just say it's a fluke. He relates to him this way, he relates to him this way, he relates to him that way, he relates to him. There's something about it. He's the king. There's a government, he's elected, whatever, he's the king. And that status is a status, which is, but the status is only relative to the subject. The status is relative to the subject, but still is a status. So you could have an idea of a status of a relative Chal Hashem. And it doesn't mean it's not in the Gavra. As opposed to, for instance, like if the Nir Daf is self-defense, has a right to kill him, to kill the Rodef, it doesn't mean the Rodef has a status of Nail Adam. Just because one guy has a right to kill him doesn't mean that he has a status vis-a-vis him. I mean, one guy is just is a particular instance of self-defense. But if you have a Rodef who categorically, there are going to be two classes of people vis-a-vis the Rodef, people who need to kill him, people who don't need to kill him, people who have a clash vis-a-vis his life, people who don't have a clash, so the Torah could do is it could create a status of Nail Adam, him, the Gavre vis-a-vis the clashers. The people who have the clash, so it means he could have a relative status in Eil Adam, but it's a status in him. It's a relative status, just like a king. It's a status in him, but it's relative. Status doesn't necessarily mean it's objective, it's absolute. It needs to be everybody. To be, it's a relative status, but it's a status. What he's saying, and this is what he's grappling with. I mean, I think this is what he's not sure about. This is what he's grappling with. He's not sure about I'm not sure exactly why he's Masovic, but is that possible? Do you say the Shema Kinei have a Shema Nail Adam vis-a-vis some people and not vis-a-vis other people? I mean, it's true there is such a thing as relative status, but, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's something bothersome about it also. You could say, it's like the Torah, either the Torah protects the guy or he doesn't protect him. Is he a guy who the Torah protects? Is he a guy who the Torah doesn't protect? Say that he has a status, like a partial status Nail Adam, it's a Chiddush. So, I mean, you could say, I mean, you could forward an argument. He's not rejecting the argument from yesterday. You could forward an argument that he's a status in the guy, and it's, in general, it's a halachic status. It's an objective, kind of objective halachic status. He's saying, even if you want to argue, it sounds like he really likes the first guy. It sounds like he really likes the first guy. That should be objective status. Status is a status in the governor. Governor is a governor. But he says, even if you want to argue, that since the whole status is generated by a clash, the Torah could set up a category of a relative status, of a status of a chalos of an Eil Adamim relative to, you know, and really tied in with the cause, because the Shem Eil Adamim is really tied in with the status, the cause of the Eil Adamim, the clash. Even if you don't say that, he's still going to get an answer. Okay, it sounds like he's not. It sounds like he's leaning that the status should be an objective status, an Eil Adamim. I mean, could be a question of how Eino Domin works. Maybe his intuition about Eino Domin is that the Torah protects the guy. It doesn't protect the guy. To say that he has a status, you know, protection, you know, part halfway, and then that's not. I don't know what his arguments would be in favor of one way or another way, but that's what he's questioning. The question is could you have the status of Eino Domin halfway? Or is it an objective status in the guy? You know, where you could see the cause is definitely relative, but the question is, does the status. Does that forge a relative status, or you say the status is an objective status? Okay, assuming that it is, though, he's saying he still has an answer. Okay, so let's hold off. We have a question before that? That the whole sense. I mean, the reason why he has to do this, I mean, because he knows that you could argue, this point, because it's overkill. It is halal, it is overkill. The real idea is that the whole status of Eil Adam is because of the clash.
There's a philosophical argument.
No, but you could, if you say that halakhically it's tolerable to have relative status, then it's really, it's a better formulation. There's no reason to set up objective status. And really what should be here is it should be an Eil Adam vis-a-vis only the guy, these guys. The only question is it possible halakhically? So he still does not. But he knows that you could argue that. You could argue and say that the Torah could set that up. So you see, there's a more natural way is to say their way, and that's what someone's going to argue. Well, who told you? Why did they have the Chal Hashem? That's been an objective Chal Hashem. Why can't you have a subjective? Why can't it just be a relative? Why not? I mean, so he knows. He's saying he doesn't want his answer to be contingent upon that intuitive sense that he has that it can't be. He can answer the question anyways. He doesn't think so. He doesn't think he has to. He thinks he already answered the question. But he knows someone can argue that, even if you want to argue that. Which I guess his halachic intuition of the Torah wouldn't do that. but he thinks still he's done enough groundwork that he can answer the question anyways. Okay. So maybe the last step is another question. So that's the question. So maybe the last step. I'm not so sure about this, but the first part of the last step I think makes good sense. Is that he's saying is that even if you say it's a relative status of an eldamim, it's still a status in the gavra. Like it doesn't just mean someone has the right to kill him. The idea is that the gavra who encounters the clash is endochanavsh meinafesh. He's faced with two nefashos, and his resolution is that the Torah defines him as an eldamim vis-a-vis you. So it defines him as an eldamim. It's not just, it's really giving him a status relative to you, but it is a din in the gavra that he has the status of an eldamim vis-a-vis half the world. Okay, the theoretical half. Okay? And so he has a status, he's a guy who's, so to speak, a dead man vis-a-vis half the people in the world. Okay? Halachically, what's his status? Vis-a-vis some people he's dead man, vis-a-vis some other people he's not. Okay? So what I'm saying is that, and this is I think part of a general idea, is that in general we don't try to kill people. Okay? In general it's very hard to convict a guy or to kill a guy. And there's the Grizz's saying is that still you could say the Rambam is holding is that once the guy has a status of an Ein Ladamim vis-a-vis some people, so now that so to speak that mitigates the crime of the Ratzicha. Even though vis-a-vis you he's the Ein Ladamim and he's a regular guy, but still the fact that the guy has a status of an Ein Ladamim vis-a-vis others, a halakhically recognized status of an Ein Ladamim, so that mitigates the crime, and Bezdin is not going to kill for that. Because Bezdin kills for a guy who's just a murderer, he's just not killing people. But if your killing is limited and restricted to a guy who the Torah already recognizes as the one foot out the door, even though it's not vis-a-vis you, that's not true, his status is the Ein Ladamim, but still, the crime of the murder is like lacking in like badness of it, okay, and the cold bloodedness of it or whatever. It's such that Bezdin in general, you see this din of Tzilo Eda, that Bezdin tries to save people. I mean, we don't want to kill people, you know, but you can't just allow a killer to get off the hook. The thing is that the Grizz is saying that the Rambam could be held that's enough of a lack in the Ritzicha. That's not gonna kill him. I is the Yesh Ladam, and that's true. Vis-a-vis you, he is, and therefore you're killing a guy who's protected. But since the halacha and the full scope of the thing, Bezdin looks at it and says, this is a guy who the Torah does give a status, so the Torah gave up on him vis-a-vis others, so that lacks in, it's like he's lacking in, so it's lacking in the crime of the Ritzicha, and the Ramos is exempt from that. What's bothersome to me is that it would seem to me that you should need a leman for that. Because look, Ma'amar is Hala, he is Yesh Ladamim. Vis-a-vis the killer, is Yesh Ladamim. So I could hear the sense to that. But there still is a lack. But to me, you should need a limud to teach you that. To teach you, the limud would be saying that lack is recognized and it's sufficient to exempt
it.
It's
very philosophical. You know? To be able to say that.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's philosophical so much, but I mean, you have to have I could see it also being based on your intuition about your knowledge of Onshim. I mean, Onshim is a system. There are a lot of things which, like, for instance, this is true, I think, is that for an Onesh, I've never heard Rebbe Yitzchak like this, that there's Onesh sometimes is limited to the Avera Bishlei Musa, like the Avera in the full form. Whereas Onesh is like, we have to be admonished because you can't let guys get away with Averas, but it could be limited to the full form of the violation of the Onesh. So it could be that the Rambam, or the Grizz, holds the Rambam has an intuition about Onshin, that once the crime is mitigated, it's not Bishlei Musa, then it will, that's, then you're not going to give the Onesh. And the fact that the guy is Nain Lodamim, vis-a-vis someone, Halacha recognizes the status of Nain Lodamim, so now the crime is not Bishlei Musa, it's not complete. And that's sufficient to exempt the guy. I mean, I could definitely see a lima teaching that to you. I could also see a good intuition about the bounds of when Torah gives onshin, when Mises, when Bezdin kills people, also being, telling you that. You know, I mean, so there is no lima, but I know it would be better if there were a lima, but I don't think it's impossible, you know. I think this is what the Grizz is saying. I mean, I think this is what the Grizz is saying, is what I'm saying. It fits into that framework. framework of, like, it's like it says, as long as it's called sad, anal dam sheishko dai lepocho. Like, any amount of anal dam that he has will be enough to pater him. It's almost like there's a force of we're trying to pater him, we're trying to exempt him, but we need something. And once you get a little, and that is the attitude. I mean, we try to exempt, it's a pasuk, it's a mitzvah, v'tzilu eda. The bezin should try to save the guy. So we're looking to save the guy. So as long as there's any slide of anal damim, it's enough to mitigate the crime such that we will save the guy. Because the idea is that we're only killing people because you just can't have a society if people are going to kill you. You have to have a deterrence. So I'm just saying, it's like the sense behind it is that if we kill the really bad guys, then that will be a deterrent. You don't have to kill the guys who aren't so bad. Those guys, the idea is you don't want to kill people. So, but you need a deterrence. You have to have it that someone's going to get killed. Otherwise, it's going to be rampant killing. But the fact that a guy gets off, they'll say, oh, yeah, because there was a mitigating circumstance. So you're not going to have people going around killing people who are halfway in low dominance. That's not the whole case. It's a rare case. And it's a case of a guy who's already lacking in his life because the Torah gave him a status in low dominance. So that's enough that we could not kill a guy in that circumstance is a categorical difference, and it's not going to undermine the system of onesh, and it's not going to destroy the society. But if you just wouldn't kill a random person, you know, there's no reason for it, then who does the full-blown crime, then you can destroy the society. So onshim duwer, I mean, there are categories, and onshim duwer, I mean, there's onshim are limited to the Vishlan Wisdom. I would prefer if there was a limit for that. Usually, I would think that it should be that way. But again, you have to really study onshin. I mean, I could see that. Again, it's not. The Grizz is explaining the Rambam, and he's saying, you know, it seems like the Grizz is saying, it's like, look, to him, really, he thinks that the status of Anil Dham should be objective. And even if you want to say that it's relative, you could still see answering the Rambam by saying that this would be anything. You know, that this
your class of wanting people to be all this.
Yeah, it's kind of the way he says it, is that. That he says that still it's a status in the Gavra. That's what he says first of all. And Cain, Yesh Loma, you could say, the Linus Five Misa, the Five Misa, Arigoso, is regarding the Five Misa, any amount will be found to him. And since this guy is not going to be someone, he won't be Five Misa, because they should go to Ram. So maybe he's even like relying on the Rambam. And this is the justification. You can argue, this is why the Rambam is saying, that's what will kill him. Yeah, the Oregon in Bezemisimov, that he's trying to like show that maybe you could explain the Rambam that this is the Rambam's fetish. I mean, maybe he's just throwing in the Rambam saying this is the Rambam, that would be the Rambam's fetish. But right, I mean, if this were his only answer, maybe it would be it's hard. I mean, you have to say it. You have to say this is the Rambam's positive. But is he really old? The real seems really old the other way. That he's objectively his nailed on. Therefore, he's popular. But even if you wanted a taina that you don't like that, still, so I'll tell you, this is the Rambam I'm saying. So what I'm saying is he's empty because of that. You know? But the question about the limud is, I mean, that was kind of the Torah's question. The Torah's question was, like, where's your limud? Right? I mean, if you want to tell me, show me your limud, trade for this limud. But it's better than that, though, because it's not just saying, well, he's running after him, and he should be potter. I mean, it's saying, no, he has an objective status of an Eil Dama. Or a relative status of an Eil Dama, but it's a halachically recognized status of an Eil Dama. No.
Concept.
Yeah, I mean, the part I skipped of the Grizz is like his support that he's an Eil Dama, which is based on his Tosafta, which again, you have to look into. I mean, I looked at it a little bit. First of all, I saw the Tosafta, I think there are others who learn it differently. On the bottom of the Tosafta, there's like other people learn it differently than me. It's not explicit, that's what I look at. It's like if it was explicit in Tosafta, then it would be harder, you know, and then he's right. It's not explicit. I mean, you could always say, look, the problem is to me, is like, it's very nice, even if you find Tosafta. I mean, the Rambam doesn't say it. He's trying to explain the Rambam. I'm not saying anything about Rambam. I mean, he says about it in Achtaras. But I mean, whatever. You could say, here is where he says it. You could deduce it from this thing. You know what I mean? But Tosafta was not direct. It didn't openly say it. Really, you know, but there was, you know, it's decent. I mean, I didn't really imagine it. But to really go into it, I mean, maybe it's shaykh to look at like Tosafta and see if there's another. The simplest way to learn Tosafta. It's Tosafta saying Eil Dama. And look, why should you argue Tosafta? It's like a Brisa. So, but I don't know. I'm not convinced that there is another way of learning. I think though the one of the big guys at the bottom does have to learn different knowledge. But that's one part I skipped. We didn't really know. But the fact that Rechaim seems to not learn this way, you know. Some of the Rechaim has to learn this often. Whatever, the other way to learn this often. What I'm saying is, you could look at it. He quotes it. He quotes it in there. That's part of the part which I skipped. Okay, so fine. So I guess we'll stop here. I think next week we're going to do Hanukkah. Okay. I think we're going to do, so you have Chashad.
Okay, right.
So I guess if you want to look at it, it's I think it's Chaf Gimel Mer Aleph. It's a case of the Chatzer Sheyesh Lo Shnei Psachim. Chatzer Sheyesh, I think I'm sorry. I'm not wrong with someone. Chatzer Sheyesh Lo Psachim Sheyesh Lo Shnei Neiro, something like that. I mean, you got to do the Gemara basically, and basically the Gemara there, I think, 23A goes down. It turns on to 23B. The Gimel Mer is at the top of that Peya. And it's interesting. I mean, there's stuff on it. But I guess for starters, you can just do it with Rashi's, try to find the thing. Yeah, I mean, we'll get started on that. I guess, so I think that's what I do. It's possible to do something else, but I think that's what I'll do.